This is Asked and Answered.
Questions.
With Tom Opferman and Steelers Digest editor Bob Labriola.
Labs, when we last sat down to do this podcast, the Steelers quarterback room consisted of just Kenny Pickett with Mason Rudolph's impending free agency. Now Kenny Pickett's an Eagle, and the quarterback room consists of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. I feel like things have been completely turned on its head. I am just 29 years old going on 30. This has been the most exciting offseason of my life as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Knock me over with a feather. Seriously. I mean, I let me say this. I'm excited about the moves, but I would have never predicted any of this. If you ask me which one of these three things, signing Russell Wilson, trading for Justin Fields, trading Kenny Pickett, and Mason Rudolph signing an unrestricted free agent contract with another team. So that's four things. Which one surprised me the most? Whew, that's a tough call.
Really tough.
Really is a tough call. But again, I'm not going to, try and make this into the most exciting offseason ever, like you just did. And I'm not disagreeing with you. I just haven't thought of it that way. So, I certainly understand people who follow this team regularly labeling it that. I mean, I'm not going to disagree. I just haven't looked at it that way yet.
When it comes to the Fields trade, that door didn't really open for the Steelers until Kenny Pickett voiced his opinion that he would rather move on from the Steelers with Russell Wilson coming in. Did that surprise you as much as it surprised me? Like, I know Kenny kind of didn't show the greatest leadership qualities down the stretch last season, but I didn't exactly peg him as somebody that was going to... running away from competition too harsh, but I guess not.
I would say disappointed, because this is how I viewed it. Okay. The Russell Wilson thing to me, kind of fell in the Steelers' lap. First of all, yeah, Everyone was talking about, the situation Denver, after benching him at the end of the regular season, they were going to cut him. But until it happens, you don't really know. Okay, so Russell Wilson gets cut. And then, I don't think the Steelers, I think it may have begun, I would suspect it began, as more of a due diligence thing. You kind of get Russell Wilson on the phone or whatever. And you set up a, let's talk. Because... what I would have said about this is that, and I think I may have written this in a previous Asked and Answered, that, I didn't think Russell Wilson would have come to the Steelers without being guaranteed a starting job.
Right.
And I don't think the Steelers would have done that. Okay. So I still don't think that they guaranteed Russell Wilson the starting job. I mean, I do believe... that Russell Wilson has enough confidence in himself and he has enough of a NFL resume that he looked at the situation. And, I don't mean to be demeaning towards Kenny Pickett, but if I'm Russell Wilson with my history, two Super Bowl appearances, multiple Pro Bowls, all pro, all that kind of stuff that he has on his resume, Walter Payton Man of the Year, even though that's not a competitive kind of award, I look at Kenny Pickett and think, I can beat this guy out. You want him to think that. Because if he looks at it and goes, well, gee, I don't know. I don't think that's the kind of guy you want. So, okay. So that's my perspective on the Russell Wilson acquisition. Now, Kenny Pickett didn't say this, but we're hearing a lot about he was lied to. And to me, that's garbage.
Yeah.
Because, hey, boys and girls, this is the National Football League. When Mike Tomlin had his season-ending presser, and Art Rooney II had his January 29th presser. And they were saying things about Kenny Pickett. You know, we want to bring him back. It's a big year for him. Work with him, all that stuff. That was true at the moment. I mean, again, this is professional sports. Things change. You know, fans think that a team executive says something, a coach, a team president, and then it's etched in stone. Well, that's not the way you operate if you want to be successful. Things change every year. And so at the time, you know, that Kenny Pickett believed that he was going to be able to compete for the starting job, that was true. Okay? And here's also the reality of professional sports. Russell Wilson still is, but at the time, he signed a one-year contract. Okay? And it was Russell Wilson and then Kenny Pickett for a time were the only two quarterbacks on the roster signed. How many teams go through an entire season only using one quarterback? Not very many. So let's just pretend that Russell Wilson wins the starting job through the off-season competition that, you know, takes you through training camp and the preseason games. Okay, then Pickett's number two.
Right.
Maybe he can learn something from watching Russell Wilson because it's going to be a new offense anyway.
Oh, well, Kenny already said he didn't learn anything on the bench last year, Lab. So, I mean,
right, I was just getting to that. That kind of attitude is self-defeating, in my opinion.
And I don't think Justin Fields has that attitude because he got traded to the Steelers knowing Russell Wilson was already here. I think he's ready to take that mentality. I can learn something from this guy.
Yeah, and because, you know, and so, yeah, I was really disappointed that Kenny Pickett, quote-unquote, was looking for a fresh start. Because, okay, now he's going to be closer to his New Jersey roots. So he thinks he's going to play in front of Jalen Hurts.
Right.
So, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And again, I'm just telling you what I think from a million miles away. I think it was more like pouting.
I agree with that.
You know, whatever his expectations were or his belief was in what his status was here, you know, here, I'm here to tell you, too, Terry Bradshaw was the first overall pick in the draft in 1970. In 1974, he was benched for performance. So, you know, grow up, you know, man up. These kinds of things happen. Peyton Manning got cut. So there's that. I agree with you with Justin Fields. We're going to see how it happens. Now, I just want to go back to Russell Wilson for one more point I want to make. He allegedly had a bad reputation in Denver. Now, in doing a little bit of investigating, it seems to me that Russell Wilson was pretty well liked by his teammates in Denver. After Sean Payton benched him at the end of the year, Jared Stidham, who became the quarterback in Russell Wilson's place, Russell Wilson helped him, you know, tried to, you know, be a teammate. So I think the problem in Denver in terms of Russell Wilson was Sean Payton.
Yeah, I do too.
Who, you know, again, I don't want to, but he has a very high opinion of himself. And he's, you know, we hear a lot about, you know, Mike Tomlin only won one Super Bowl with Ben Roethlisberger. How many did Sean Payton win with Drew Brees? I forget.
How many seasons did he go 7-9 with Drew Brees?
Okay.
Three in a row.
And how many seasons was Sean Payton suspended for his role in Bounty Gate? So, you know, he's not I wouldn't consider him a choir boy.
No, I think that's why a lot of people are super high on the Tomlin and Wilson marriage now, because Payton came into Denver and just tried to become this authoritative ruler over Russell Wilson, kind of lord over him. And he went too far in the opposite direction of, well, they gave you Hackett and the organization gave you too much leeway before. Now I'm going to take it all away from you. Now I just think Tomlin is the perfect coach for Wilson to land with after that Peyton experience. I agree with you 100%. If Peyton was a bit more of a cohesive coach with Wilson, Wilson had enough quality play last year where Denver probably would have been a better team.
Yeah. And, you know, and let's not forget again, on, you know, January 29th, the team president said, and speaking about Mason Rudolph, he showed us what kind, and I'm paraphrasing, he showed us what kind of team we have when we get competent play from the quarterback. Is Kenny Pickett listening to that? I mean, does he think then that should earn him, or does he then deserves whatever status he seemed to think that he had going into the next season? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't, if the boss said that about me and my job and the person who replaced me in my job, I wouldn't feel very confident or arrogant about my place. So, again, I don't think he was lied to. I think maybe he expected more, but I don't know why. And this is the other thing for me is, you know, even after the Steelers drafted Kenny Pickett with 20th overall pick in 2022, the talk about him was his intangibles.
Yes.
And how,
the moxie,
the toughness, the competitiveness, where is that? So, again, I think that of all the quarterback moves that have happened so far this offseason, the Kenny Pickett trade, not so much the trade itself, but the reason behind it, surprised me and disappointed me. That's how I would characterize, you know, that situation. Now, you know, already fans want to know, what are the Steelers going to do in 2025? For quarterbacks, you know, my answer to that is let's wait and see how it turns out.
Right.
See who plays, see who plays well. And again, I don't believe that the Steelers are going to see the Justin Fields situation. He is, his fifth year option has to be exercised by May 2nd this year, couple of months.
I don't think that's going to happen to you.
Yeah, no, it's 25 million round numbers. Too much. Now, there's a few things, you know, you can try and do, maybe, and I don't know if Justin Fields would be willing to do this, but it's not illegal to sign him to a contract extension now that would take him through that fifth-year option so that you don't have to exercise it. Because when you exercise that fifth-year option, that money is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So let's just pretend the Steelers exercise Justin Fields' fifth-year option. As soon as they do that, file the papers, however that, you know, the bureaucracy of that move works. That's guaranteed money, $25 million. Guaranteed money counts on your cap for 2025, once, you know, right, the 2025 cap becomes it. So, you know, I just don't see that being realistic. So maybe, you know, you can work something out with him long term. Maybe Russell Wilson plays well enough in 2024 that he's a guy that you want to go forward with beyond one season as well. You know, what if the Steelers win the Super Bowl? What if they don't make the playoffs? What if they? There's 100 what ifs involved in all this. And trying to answer that question now, to me, is just impossible. So let's enjoy this for a while. I'm looking forward to training camp.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun going to practice every day, watching these two guys compete. And as Russell Wilson said in his welcome to Pittsburgh presser last Friday, you know, his attitude, at least this is what he was saying into the microphone, and he seemed sincere, you know, let's work every day trying to get better as individuals and as a team. Because that's what he said his message to Pickett was when he was immediately after he was signed. So, I'm looking forward to this and see how it works out.
Now, the quarterbacks obviously drive all the conversation, as they should. I'm sure we'll have a couple of questions coming up about the quarterbacks, too. We spent 15 minutes talking about it here. But another big signing last week was Patrick Queen, top flight inside linebacker in this free agent class. You know, not a second-tier guy, not a third-tier guy that you've seen the Steelers maybe take chances on in the past. This is a nailed-on second-team all-pro performer last year. I'm not about to say that he's going to have the most impact of free agent acquisitions or trade acquisitions this year because quarterback, come on. If the quarterback's good, that's obviously going to have the most impact. But this is going to be quite an impactful move in the middle of that defense, having Queen brought in.
Yeah, I mean, he's a real, you know, even last year with the way that the Steelers remade the position, and, you know, kudos to them for doing it. Cole Holcomb, Quan Alexander, Landon Roberts. Am I missing somebody? I don't think.
I mean, you had the Blake Martinez's and the Miles Jackson. Yeah, that was later. The injuries happened. Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, Patrick Queen is better than all of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
He's more a proven player. And here's the other thing. Not only do you add a guy who's a three-down, an every-down inside linebacker, a green dot guy, you take him away from your number one competitor in the division. Because he played for the Ravens.
Beautiful.
Right. So, you know, you're strengthening yourself and weakening them. Because, you know, I get it. They have Roquan Smith and, you know, all that other stuff. And I'm not, you know, but the Ravens defense will not be as good without Patrick Queen as it was with it. It just won't. So, yeah. I like him, his attitude, the way he came across. The fact that he said, you know, when the Steelers, he was asked about when the Steelers play the Ravens in the upcoming season, he said he's looking forward to being the villain. That's the kind of attitude I'm looking for from a guy like him too. And I also think that in Patrick Queen's mind, he has a little bit of something to prove because the Ravens chose Roquan Smith over him in terms of who to extend, I'm not arguing with that decision, but I'm just happy they made it because not only is Patrick Queen a really good player, but I think he's got a little bit of personal motivation to show the league how good he is, and he's really not Robin to Roquan Smith's Batman. And, you know, if he's willing to be a villain and stick it to the Ravens, hey, I'm on board for that too. So all of that is a lot of pluses. I do think also now you look at the Steelers defense, they have a significant stud performer on every level.
Yep.
You got Cam Hayward, inside linebacker. You got Patrick Queen at edge. You got TJ Watt. And in the back end, you got Minkah Fitzpatrick. And, you know, the Ravens signed Derrick Henry. We got Patrick Queen. Let's meet in the A gap. Yep. As Mike Tomlin says, two trains, one track. Time to go.
All right, well, it's time to get to some of these questions today. We're going to start with Jeff Colarossi from Stuart, Florida, and he wants to know, Steelers signed Russell Wilson. So my question is, does any part of his previous contract with the Broncos come into play, or would the Steelers have essentially a clean slate?
Okay, this was, I believe, part of the thing that made Russell Wilson attractive to the Steelers and a part of the reason that made the Steelers attractive to Russell Wilson. Okay, Russell Wilson's a vested veteran. By that, he had more than 4 years of service in the league. So he became a totally unrestricted free agent as soon as the Broncos cut him. Now, the terms of Wilson's contract was that in 2024, the Broncos owed him a guaranteed $35 million. Okay, whether he's on the team, not on the team, retired, playing baseball, you know, whatever. But in that guaranteed money, there's offset language in it. So what that means is that whatever Russell Wilson's new team was going to pay him, that you subtract that from the $39 million that the Broncos have to pay. So let's just throw some numbers out as an example. If the Steelers, because Russell Wilson can't make more than $39 million playing quarterback in the NFL in 2024 based on that terms of that contract. So if the Steelers paid him $5 million, then the Broncos would only had to pay him $34 million. So Russell Wilson has no interest in giving the Broncos a deal.
Especially after they handled the end of last season, yeah.
Right, and because he can't make more than $39 million. Now, the rules of the league are you got to pay a player the league minimum for his years of experience. And that number for Russell Wilson is $1.2 million. So, you know, if the Steelers, let's just, and I'm using a name, I don't mean, again, no demeaning meant.
Right.
If they re-signed Mason Rudolph, the least you could have paid him is $1.2 million. Okay? So instead, you get Russell Wilson for the league minimum for his terms of service, $1.2 million, which is attractive to the Steelers. And I also believe it's attractive to Wilson because he doesn't want to cut the Broncos any break at all. Yeah. And, you know, so 39 minus 1.2 would be 37.8. So he stuck the Broncos with as much money as possible that they have to pay him. And so that was obviously attractive to the Steelers, $1.2 million. And it might have been attractive to Russell Wilson too because, again, I don't know that this happened. But if it were me in these conversations with him, what I would have mentioned to him was, hey, Russell, just so you know, I don't know if you're, you know, familiar, we play the Broncos in the regular season this year. And maybe, you know, if this works out for us, maybe we play them in the playoffs too. So what do you think of that, Russell? And I think he found that attractive.
I think he did too.
And so, because like the Giants were another team supposedly interested in him. Now, you know, nothing wrong with the Giants, but they're in the NFC. So you don't have a regular season game with Denver, and you have no chance to meet them in the playoffs either. Maybe in the Super Bowl, but I think that's kind of a long shot. So that's how I saw that kind of working out. Now, for 2025, the Broncos still have to eat some dead cap money, but he will be an unrestricted free agent as of right now, following the end of the 2024 season.
Grant Spellerberg from Cutler Bay, Florida. I know you are getting tons of interest regarding the new quarterback situation. I am wondering if this was all in the works for some time or if it just happened on the spur of the moment. Also, will Coach Tomlin hold a press conference about this?
Yeah, there's no way it could have been in the works for some time. Yeah. I mean, things happened. I mean, you'd have to...
The Fields thing was probably in the works for what, 24 hours once Kenny Pickett decided to leave.
Right. And when the Bears then decided on how they wanted to handle that too, because right. I don't know when the Bears definitively decided
that it was going to be
that
Williams,
they were
right.
going to, or, you know, somebody else,
right.
they were going to draft a quarterback in this draft. So I don't know when they firmed up that decision, but yeah, I think that this was an example of, you know, the Steelers reading the coverage and reacting to it throughout, adding Wilson. Because, again, you might have thought, but until the Broncos cut him, you know, all that thinking is nothing. You know, maybe none of it happens. And then you can't make Russell Wilson play for you. I don't think they had a specific idea that how Pickett would react. And then we just talked about the Bears. So, you know, it couldn't have been in the works for some time. And as for the Mike Tomlin press conference, the next time he is scheduled for a media session comes during the NFL owners meetings. Those will be held March 24th through the 27th in Orlando.
Our next question comes from Jerry Stubnicki from Garfield Heights, Ohio. Will the Steelers hold a fan blitz at Acrisure Stadium instead of at Stage AE this year?
That event is now called the Steelers Draft Party. And yes, it's very similar. It will take place on the Saturday of the draft, which is April 27th. It will be held from noon to 5 at Acrisure Stadium. So it's very similar so far in terms of where it's going to be held, when it's going to be held. But it has a different name, a little bit different name. Tickets are supposed to be going on sale toward the latter part of March. That date, as soon as it's firmed up, it'll be announced on all of the Steelers media platforms.
Teddy Jernigan from Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Do the Steelers get money for a company having its name on the stadium, or how does it work? Oh, Teddy, they get money. Of course they get money. Come on.
Well, they all get money. You know, that this is not a unique thing.
Right,
to Pittsburgh.
Right.
It's referred to as naming rights. And just to run down, you know, it's AT&T Stadium in Dallas, the Caesars Superdome in New Orleans, Ford Field in Detroit, Gillette Stadium in New England, Lincoln Financial Field in Philly, Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy, M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, Paycor Stadium in Cincinnati. There are others. I don't know that there are any teams that don't have naming rights. If any of them don't, it's not because they're choosing not to. It's probably because they either are unable to secure a corporate partner, or they are unable to secure a corporate partner at the number that they would prefer. So, but yes, naming rights in NFL stadiums, it's pretty much a league-wide thing.
Lee Horlick from Louisville, Kentucky. With Bill Hillgrove retiring, I was wondering if there are announcers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as there are in the National Baseball Hall of Fame. If so, have any Steelers announcers been inducted?
What the NFL has, it's something called the Pete Rozelle Radio Television Award. That was created in 1989, and it was named, obviously, for former Commissioner Pete Rozelle. The award is given annually by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, quote, for longtime exceptional contributions to radio and television in professional football. Now, what makes the Rozelle Award different from what some of the other sports do in the same category is that the Rozelle Award can be given to broadcast executives and production people in addition to on-air personalities. Myron Cope won the Rozelle Award in 2005.
Bob Apchick from Knoxville, Tennessee. I was wondering if the Steelers would consider Max Starks as the next play-by-play guy. He has great insight on the sidelines. Is there enough of a similarity between his job and Bill Hillgrove's, or are they a completely different skill set?
No, there's not enough of a similarity between his job and Bill Hillgrove's, and they are a completely different skill set. Now, let me say this. Max Starks is good at his job. I listen to him often in different venues or whatever, and I've always found him insightful. He's an easy listen. But as I said, play-by-play is totally different from any kind of analysis, you know, sideline reporter, those other jobs associated with, you know, a radio broadcast of an NFL team. So, you know, being one of the 32 play-by-play guys at the NFL level, it requires specific training and a commitment to that craft. Max Starks would be totally miscast in that role, and I think it would be setting him up to fail. I don't think the Steelers are interested in that.
Oh, no question. And it would rob the listener of a lot of insight that Max would be able to provide if he was in that role. You know, when you're in the color or the sideline role, you're able to interject with your expertise a lot more. And that's what Max is there for. He played the game. He knows more than any of us when it comes to the game of football.
Right.
Our final question today comes from Matt Milani from Midland, North Carolina. How much more money will have to be cleared under the salary cap to allow the Steelers to sign their incoming 2024 draft class?
Okay. Now, let me just use some of the recent events to help me answer this question. The Kenny Pickett trade, the Justin Fields trade, both of those involve draft picks. Okay, so as you can see, The number of picks the Steelers have and where they are located in the overall seven-round process of a draft have changed. And so the league does not determine rookie pools until all of that is settled. You know, for example, if the Steelers, let's say they stay with where they are right now in terms of the number of picks and where they fall in the draft. Okay, their rookie pool would be different than if they, you know, I don't know, somebody fell and hit their head and they pulled a Mike Ditka and traded all of their picks for the first pick in the draft and only picked one guy. So we're not going to know that rookie pool until, you know, maybe after the draft, because there's trades during the draft too. So none of that stuff is determined at this point. And that's never really an issue. You know, teams always, there are ways. You know, teams will go into the draft, for example, with a cushion. So just in case they want to trade up in the first round, they have the ability to do that. You're not going to see potential draft day moves not made because of the rookie salary pool. Teams are smarter than that.
Well, the Steelers have made enough moves to already fill up an offseason, but we're really technically only 1 week into the offseason, Labs. I think it's safe to say that the Tomlin, Kahn, and Rooney brain trust aren't going to be done here, right?
There's certainly a lot of rumors out there, and you know, normally I would poo-poo rumors and make fun of them.
Me too. That's the thing. That's where we're at right now. People are like, hey, maybe they trade up into the top 10 of the draft. I can't poo-poo that right now because things are just going so crazy.
Right. And you can't, you know, are they going to, like one of the rumors now lately is Justin Jefferson. No, I'd make fun of that.
Why not, right?
And let me just say this. Back on January 29th, when Art Rooney II had his media session, one of the things he said was, it's time for us to start winning playoff games. Okay, boys and girls, just think about that every time something happens. Because very often, well, pretty much every time the team president has spoken after the season, there have been little nuggets like that dropped in where at the time maybe you didn't think they were that significant or obvious statements or whatever. But then as events started to unfold, you know, he was telling you what was going to happen.
That'll do it for us today. If you want to hear your question answered in a future Ask the Answer to get them into Labs now, always appreciate your contributions to the podcast. For Bob Labriola, I'm Tom Opferman, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.